This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Coming to you absolutely live from the Victorian Pride Centre in this Joy's 30th year. This is Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9's longest running news and current affairs show since 1996. And we proudly bring you this 26th of August 2023 edition of Saturday Magazine. Paul's on panel and my co-host is the fabulous Nevena Sporoska. Let's get on with it. Good morning, Nevena.
And my co-host is the fabulous Macca.
Oh, fabulous. There's so much fabulousness here.
It's practically flying out the door.
It is. How's your week been?
It's been, look, the last time we were in here, we were on the verge of what could have been with the Matildas, and you could
yes.
feel that excitement. We were speaking with the Equality Minister and everyone just had that tension in them. They didn't want to get it ahead of themselves.
No.
But we're going to be talking about that today, Macca, with our first guest, Georgia, and some of the brilliance and the legacy of the Matildas. And now that, you know, it's a bit of a national hangover that we're having, that it didn't quite go the way that we wanted to, but we just saw the amazing effect they had on our country.
Now, some might accuse me of cynicism here.
Oh, go on, Macca.
But we all enjoy, I'm not being cynical now, we all enjoyed the incredible performance of the Matildas, how they worked as a team, how Australia incredibly got right behind them to such an extent that it was uplifting. What I was cynical about was the government all of a sudden announces a couple of $100 million perfectly targeted at women's sport. Now, why? Why all of a sudden, you know, did Jim Chalmers and Elbow look in the bottom drawer and say, oh, look, there's $200 million. Let's give that to women's sport. Let's wrap it in a virtue signalling flag. And let's do it.
Are you saying it's well overdue?
Well overdue.
Yeah.
Well overdue. You know, the Prime Minister's musing about a public holiday and everything. Look, but why was money not provided previously? And has it met the request that the Matildas themselves wanted for it, you know, to be really based on local community sport? So, yeah. Bit cynical. The rest of the show won't be about cynicism. We're going to speak about what are we going to talk about
now? We're going to be speaking with Simon Ruth, the CEO of Thorn Harbour Health, after we have our discussion about the Matildas and their legacy. After that, we'll be having Max and Yamania on the line all the way in from Sydney. We're going to be talking about Equality Australia, their new Project Trans Equality and Inclusion, then Sally Capp and Catherine Marshall and Nicole Abe-Moyor about the Clifton Catholic School closures. But first, Macca, we've got our guest on the line. Georgia, welcome to Saturday Magazine.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
We have been musing this morning about the importance of the Matildas football in our country and especially the investment in women's sport and women's football. And we were sharing some of Macca's thoughts about how overdue this is.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this and the continued need for investment in women's football and women's sport more generally, Georgia?
It's huge. There's some sort of ridiculous stat that there's one in five venues, especially for women's football, that aren't actually acceptable to have and made to have women's facilities as well. So when you're looking at it, it's not an equitable playing field because there aren't women's bathrooms, change rooms and facilities open to them. So the funding is very much needed and overdue. And when you look at the participation stats in this country about who plays what sport, football is number one for participation across all genders. But it has one of the lowest fundraising and grants being attributed to it. So it's a great opportunity now for there to be more funding and also reduce the barriers to entry because also it's one of the most expensive sports to play at a community and grassroots And if we want to inspire the next generation of Matildas and players coming forward, we need to make sure it's accessible to everyone, because football is such a great game for people to be involved with. And at the moment, it is so expensive to play. Registration fees, et cetera, are just so expensive. So hopefully, you know, the facilities will be more open, accessible, and the registration fees can be a little bit more accessible to the wider community as well.
Georgia, I really enjoyed your cover on Twitter, the yes. excitement that you brought, the passion and the love that you have for this game. But I was also reading one of your articles, and you were writing about the pressure the Matildas were under. One of the key points that you made was that people across the country wanted to watch the Matildas. They wanted to support this incredible team. How do we keep that momentum going? Mm.
Well, one of the best things that's coming up at the moment is the A-League women's season is starting on October 13th. So the fixtures were released this week from the Australian Professional Leagues. It is so accessible to go watch this particular league, and it's all over Australia. They're really focusing as well on different stadiums. So it's really so easy to sign up now. And a lot of the membership fees for the different relative clubs is pretty affordable. Like I think Melbourne Victory is minimum from $60. And Western United as well are really affordable. So it's really as simple as deciding to have a local team. And of course, I speak a lot about the A-League women, but the NPLW, which is the state league in Victoria, are having their finals in the next couple of weeks as well, and they're going to be holding their grand final at the new home of the Matildas. So, you know, if you want to come watch the next generation play, it's so accessible at the moment as well. But one of the easiest things you can do is literally just choose an A-League team, follow them on Instagram, and then try and see if you can get to any games over the summer. It is such a fantastic lead, and every single player that was in that Matildas squad came from the A-League. So, you know, you can say next World Cup, I watched these players for years to come, and you can have the opinions that I had on Twitter over the World Cup.
It's Georgia, I wanted to ask, so the money that the federal government has pledged, the $200 million, do we have much detail about that? Is it going to help with the fees that you talked about and the facilities? $200 million is a lot of money, but in terms of distributing it geographically, you know, we discover it probably won't go that far. What's your understanding of that money?
At the moment, it's pretty limited because, again, we need to have definite targets, I think.
Yep.
The Victorian government is the Office for Women's Sport and Recreation, and they actually have a whole heap of studies on, you know, how to make sure that these facilities are correctly accessible for all players. And so I think it's really necessary that, you know, when this money comes out, it goes through very particular standards that they have set. But again, the $200 million, we also need to make sure that is directly going to football. There is this fear in the football community, given, you know, what has happened repeatedly in the past, where it's $200 million for women's sport, but a lot of the time the money does go to other sports. And, you know, as someone who grew up loving netball and football, we are two very underfunded sports for the participation rates in this country. And then you see a lot of that money tends to go out to some of the bigger sports, not to disparage them too much, but Australian rules football does get a whole heap of funding quite often to support their women's side of the program. So it really needs to have some strong stipulations about where this money goes to and specifically what. So when it comes to what covering registration fees or improving facilities, I think there needs to be stricter guidelines on where this money goes in the funding. Some sound amazing, but I think we need to be very targeted and specific to try and help these issues that we do have in the football community.
And, you know, woe betide if any of that money ended up pork barrelling.
Yeah.
You know, if we think back to, you know, sports rorts and such things, look, I do hope it's well targeted, and I do hope, you know, it's transparent. And at the end of the day, Australians hugely supported the Matildas. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, people will want to see that support, you know, to bring not just support the current players, but the next generation of players coming. And, you know, to really make it, you know, an entrenched part of sport, because without that, you know, without that money and without that cash and without those facilities, it's going to be pretty hard, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, I spoke about this quite a lot during the World Cup. But
yeah.
when you look in the grand scheme of Australian sports, football is probably the easiest unifier. You know, cricket, it goes for so long. You know, not many people are into rugby, depending on what state you're in. But football is an easy enough sport that if you sit down and watch it, you can gather the rules in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that in terms of having players as role models, and you also have Matilda, who are a great display of the Australian demographic, and also in terms of just there's no... try and find a diplomatic way to put it. They're very easy people to love, and there's not many people that you would categorise as having bad characteristics. There's some male sports. But not to be too dismissive, but I think as well, it's just, you know, it is a self-serving prophecy. To continue the next generation, we need to have those role models at the top to inspire those players to go play, to ask their parents for, you know, a soccer ball for their birthday. So it is important that we're able to, you know, inspire them, create the next generation again. And the current crop of talent that's coming through the under-20s, under-17s Australian squad is fantastic, and so many of them are getting minutes in the A-League women at the moment. So, you know, we have such a great opportunity to continue building and creating a legacy for years to come, because we do have the talent in this country to support. And I think we can only hope that in the next 2 years or so, we'll see an even bigger boom to support, and then also more entrenched, funding structures for the pathways, but also just more interest at every level to kind of break that barrier so more people are watching throughout the country in the non-World Cup years. And, you know, selfishly, you know, I have always enjoyed being able to buy tickets to the Matildas and all these games, but I want to not be able to, because the interest is so high that it makes it difficult.
Georgia, I'm very lucky where I live. There's an oval across from me where young girls play football, and it's only young girls. It's brilliant that I can just walk down on a Saturday and Sunday or stand on the side of the pitch and just feel that excitement, see the talent, and know that the future of football is in very good feet. We're just wrapping up now. Do you think this has been that perception and that shift that people can see, this is sport, this is not women's sport, this is just sport?
100%. I think, you know, the quality of play by the Matildas is really what is going to drive that, because they are such high-level players, and they also now have the benefit of so many of them playing from a young age and having that full-time option as a career, especially overseas. So, and now that we have that ability to be able to distinguish, but I'm not going to lie, I love my sport, but I do love being able to distinguish women's sport because of just, for me, I love that relatability that the players have to who I am as a person. And I think that's really important. But I think also moving forward, you know, so many stories coming out of this World Cup of young boys being inspired by the Matildas as well. So I think moving forward, you know, just sport is important, caveat. But I think, you know, for me growing up, considering the and I'm very, you know, biased by my own personal experience here about the fact that there was really not much women's sport being broadcast on television. You know, I'm only 27, but like, I'm a massive netball fan, so they'll always give the credit to that league for being at some point the only really professionalised league in the country and being the only broadcast league. But now I hope moving forward that when we do look at broadcast deals for different leagues and different teams, that it is given the same respect as the male counterparts are.
You said it, Georgia. Thank you so much for joining us on Saturday Magazine. It's been a pleasure, and go the Matildas wherever they are in the world.
You are on Saturday. Yeah. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Nevena. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.